Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. At 1 p.m. Central, 12 Mountain Time, Chuck Parkinson hosts Where Do We Go From Here? Inside the SDPB Rapid City studio. That's at 415 Main Street in downtown Rapid City. It's free. It's open to the public. Stop on by for the Voices in Democracy conversation continuation, as Chuck's guest today is Peri Poirier. She is a representative from District 27, and they both are with us today for a preview of the overall conversation from inside the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio inside that SDPB space. Chuck Parkinson, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Lori. It's always a pleasure.
Representative Poirier, thanks for being here as well.
Thank you. I really appreciate being here in this space.
Chuck, let's go ahead and start with you and give us an overview of today's program and who your guests are, please.
Today is a follow-on. We were very lucky back in December to have Peri as well as representatives elect at that point, Aaron Healy and Kelly Sullivan in Sioux Falls, and Dr. Skylar Borglum, plus Senator-elect Red Dawn Foster here in Rapid City. And we discussed about what were their kind of hopes and expectations and what they had done to get elected to office and what they planned to do as they move forward in office. And I have to tell you, before the program was over, I was incredibly impressed with these five young women. And Suzanne Stratford, our executive producer, and I, who sit down and discuss these things all along, we both had the same thought. We've got to have them back, if they're willing, in after the session ends, to talk about their actual experiences.
Did you follow them, Chuck, then throughout the session and sort of see, because one of the great things about these five and many of the other, you know, incoming lawmakers was how willing and able and adept they were at sort of communicating what their experience was like via social media and other outlets.
Yes, we did. We made a strong point of doing that because they all had agreed to join us again at the end of session. In today's program will be we'll make that come to fruition. And to be able to ask those questions that I'd like to, I needed to spend a little bit of time, as we did, to talk with them and be ready to go today.
Peri, I want to talk to you a little bit about your experience at session. But first, if you don't mind, we wanted to get an update from how the flooding situation is impacting your district and the community of Pine Ridge. What can you tell us about what's been unfolding and really what the response has been?
Currently, we're looking at the dam. I've been working in close proximity and in tandem with the emergency management director for the Oglala Sioux Tribe, Steve Wilson, and I've been working with the president in getting, you know, how do we help? Where does help need to go? And how do we fill in gaps? So currently they're monitoring our dam situation. We have two dams that are on a level two, and level three is the level where it actually breaks. So we're working on the engineers that work with the Bureau of Indian Affairs is working on those dams to try to stabilize them. So we are at a level where we're working, we're preparing. But not quite yet evacuating. And those are the two main dams around the White Clay Creek that's become a White Clay River. That is the White Clay Dam and the Oglala Dam. So we're still working to get food to where it needs to go, supplies. We have a large number of, you know, roads that go to people's houses, and they could be anywhere between a mile or 3 miles off road where it's just completely muddy and treacherous, and you know, with a difficulty traveling them, if not impassable at all. So we are working and trying to get those individuals who are isolated, who are cut off from the main roads, and then those who are also in our shelters who don't have a place to go. So, and they're in our shelter. So we're working to try to get those. And we also want to keep track of our animals as well. So our hay for horses, hay for cattle, you know, taking care of all of our relatives, two-legged and four-legged.
And this might be a question for Emergency Management Director Steve Wilson, but do you know if the White Clay Dam or the Oglala Dam are breached, or if there's any structural problems with them? Really, how many people are impacted by that? Is it extensive?
It's pretty extensive around White Clay Creek because it goes from White Clay Dam all the way up to Oglala Dam. So right along there, we have several communities that are along there. A rough estimate, I just heard the numbers yesterday, but it's not coming to my mind right now.
We won't make you guess. We'll get okay. We'll get the real numbers here. It's a significant community space, yeah.
Yes, it's the structural, it's under threat, though. It is.
It is, all right.
So.
Thank you so much for that. Now let's jump back to the state legislative session. So, you know, you talked with Chuck Parkinson and with the other lawmakers going in on where do we go from here. And I'm wondering just what that conversation alone of sitting down, you know, with Red Dawn Foster and with other people who were, you know, here in the Sioux Falls space and in the Rapid City space, and really kind of intentionally having that conversation about what was ahead. Did that change sort of... The process of going in as a new lawmaker and how you approach the work that was ahead at all? Were there things that you took away from that conversation that you applied in your work in PEER?
If I'm trying to remember correctly, I apologize. I've been dealing with this flood emergency right. situation like yeah. nonstop. So I'm trying to recall. I know it was a hopeful conversation. It was almost like we worked so hard to get there into that space. And really, we had to activate the native vote in our district. It was hard work, but we got there, and it was very hopeful. It's still very hopeful. But now that we have been there, we understand the structural, the politics of it all that you do have to deal with. And we're assessing on, okay, now we know how to navigate this space. So it was a huge learning experience by no means, but yeah. We're still excited. We're still hopeful.
Chuck Parkinson, I think that's the fabulous, perfect answer, which is, you know, you have this sort of, you know, the dialogue of hope and civil conversation, and then the reality of not only, you know, emergencies and things that come up and how fast things come, but how, you know, different topics come flying at you. It can be dizzying to sort of go from the election cycle and election victory into the process of being a lawmaker.
Yeah, to make that change and be mm-hmm. geared from running for election to actually participating in the governance program is very difficult transition to make. And the basically adrenaline from the campaign is just drawn off, and all of a sudden, you know, new legislators and reelected legislators are thrown into a very short period of time, mm-hmm. a session that is not very long, to accomplish or to really absorb and accomplish a lot of things. And it's not an easy task.
Chuck Parkinson, do you see, though, that there is, it's not an easy task, but it can be done in the sense that some of these new faces, new voices in PEER really can have an impact? As you followed the session, what were some of the things that you saw, whether from a topic standpoint or from a procedural standpoint, where you really saw effective legislation or effective, you know, participation from new people in PEER?
One of the things, Lori, I think that was very important is the using just the five women that we spoke with and are going to be with us today. They went in it with their eyes open. They had firm beliefs in things, and they made themselves heard. And I think if there's anything happening in this rig, we now have 26 women in the legislature, which is more women than this legislature has ever had in South Dakota. And it's one of those things where those voices are being heard. And one of the things I saw is I think that there is a new understanding by kind of what you might say, for lack of terminology, the old guard who's been there for a while, where you have these younger people, these younger women, and they're going to be heard. And they're bringing something to the table. And I think that the one thing that we have seen is they all worked hard on some very difficult issues. Not all of them were successful, but they raised the conversation that we really need in this state is to have a conversation on these issues. They just can't be pushed back in the corner and not thought about.
Representative Puryear, is there something from this legislative session that you're particularly satisfied that it went through, that the governor signed into law, or a conversation that you think was particularly important and effective? What would you classify as a win?
The first thing that comes to the top of our my head is the Ocheti Shakoi language bill.
Yeah.
That was signed into law. That was a complete bottom-up grassroots level. Those were tribal members and community members who said, this is what we want. And they galvanized the support. They brought it to our attention. We worked with Troy Heinert in getting that going and getting that support and really having individuals on the grassroots level come up to peer in the Capitol and testify. We had second graders. We had little boys who were fluent in their language from the immersion program that Thunder Valley and Red Cloud Indian School partnership on, and they're fluent. So for them to come into the Capitol and be fluent in their language and testify in Lakota was historic. It was making history.
Yeah.
Because those type of things did not, you know, happen very often, you know, before we were up there. So that was a huge win for us, for the Native communities across South Dakota, because it speaks to that we're a part of the fabric of South Dakota. We are here also, and we make up the foundational fabric that makes South Dakota what it is today. So that was a definite huge success story.
And one of your biggest frustrations, what are one of the things that you think, well, next session, we're going to have to really address this and have this conversation again?
So one of the challenges and that we faced is there's probably a baseline knowledge that individuals who are informed accept across, no matter if you're Native or non-Native, no matter where you come from, if you're informed, you understand there's a baseline knowledge when it comes to Indigenous issues. And that baseline is very fragile, I guess you could say. We laid the groundwork this past session, but it's by no means solid. You know, it's just really hard, because in order to get into complex issues of how we can move forward together, we have to understand and come to understanding and hearing each other, you know, listening and understanding baseline facts that when we deal with these issues, and it's just not there. So one of the issues was my tribal historical properties bill. That was brought up before different sessions ago, and what seemed to be just like common, you know, easy to understand on the Native side, it was a huge mountain to climb. It was a bridge too far for individuals who are not Native, who were in, you know, leadership. I mean, we have individuals who do understand that and voted for the passing of the bill, but the majority, there's just, you know, a lack of understanding that we have to build upon, and we have to have those conversations so we can get to a point where we can understand.
And Chuck, we were talking about this in a previous conversation, just with the brevity of the session itself, when that sort of deep work needs to be done, that's based on, you know, basic baseline knowledge, that's based on anything that's new that, you know, comes down the pike, that can be a real challenge because of the time that's available to lawmakers.
That's truly the case. It takes a long time to get up to speed on any issue, mm-hmm. and to be just have it all thrown at you like that at one time. You could spend the whole session period just talking about budget issues, trying to learn what's in the governor's budget that's come forward, and not even pay any attention to anything else. So the educational process that is necessary, it's a long, hard climb, and sometimes it's, you know, things are frustrating but once you plant that first seed, I think, then the mm-hmm. discussion can continue to grow. It's frustrating that things don't get done right away, but that's the essence of representative democracy. It takes a little while for things to come to fruition, and that education process is a very, well, it's the basis for all of it.
Yeah.
And once people, as Paree said, have that baseline understanding, mm-hmm. all of a sudden the light switch comes on and, and, you know, well, why didn't I think of that? You know, that's something mm-hmm. I never thought about before, and we need to do this. And that's how oftentimes laws get passed, is when that light switch is thrown.
Right. And we've had lots of light switch moments on this program. And where do we go from here? This is why these sort of programs exist on South Dakota Public Broadcasting as well. Chuck Parkinson, Where Do We Go From Here is about to kick off. I see Aaron Haley and Kelly Sullivan in the SDPB studio right now. So we will let you and Representative Perry Poirier get ready for the show as well. Folks can join us in the SDPB studios in Rapid. You could watch it here in Sioux Falls and tune into the big screen to see both studios, and of course online on our Facebook page and at sd.net. Chuck, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Lori. It's always a pleasure.
Perry, thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
Appreciate you. Thank you.